Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Today in my message, what I'd like to do is actually set the stage for what's going to happen here at Peace and what Holy Week, maybe a new twist on Holy Week that maybe you haven't heard before. So we want to set ourselves up for Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and also Easter. Dear friends, today is Palm Sunday. It's that Sunday that Jesus processed into Jerusalem as we honored in the very beginning of our service. And this event happened, most people would suggest, around the year AD 30 in Jerusalem on the Sunday before the Passover. But what I'd like to tell you this morning is that some scholars will suggest that there were two processions on Palm Sunday, not just one. These scholars suggest that the first procession was by Pontius Pilate coming into Jerusalem. If you remember the story about Pontius Pilate, he is the governor of Judea. He's not from Judea. He's appointed there by the emperor to show Roman military might and power. This is Pontius Pilate. And so he shows up on the same Sunday that Jesus does and processes into the city, well, showing military power and might. And this was important because if there was someone who wanted to bring an insurrection to perhaps kick the Romans out of the city and have it their own way, Pontius Pilate needed to be there during this very serious time of worship and festivities in Jerusalem, so that if there was one person who rose up, Pontius Pilate could put him down. Crucifixions happened very often during Passover week. If there was anyone who rose up in power, they were quickly hushed and silenced. Pontius Pilate shows up onto the scene into Jerusalem. What a procession that must have been, Pontius Pilate. Think about the cavalry, the foot soldiers that were right behind Pontius Pilate. It is likely, the Gospels tell us, that there were armed soldiers in Jerusalem from Rome. And when Pontius Pilate showed up, they followed behind Pontius Pilate. They had helmets on, and they had plates of metal and armor and shields, and they had spears. And on top of those spears, they had symbols of the eagle to show the empire's power and prestige. They walked in alignment. They were in uniformity. That was one procession. And the thought is that took place on the west side of the city. And Pontius Pilate walked down and walked through the western gate of Jerusalem. Now let's cover the other procession that happened. This takes place on the east gate of Jerusalem. This is what we have recorded in John's Gospel. And by the way, the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem is recorded in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is a very important detail. Not all details in Jesus' ministry are covered in every single Gospel. This is one of those rare events, Jesus entering into Jerusalem. And what we know is Jesus enters on the western side. Eastern side. Thank you. On the eastern side is the Mount of Olives and also a small city called Bethany where Jesus was with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus on the east side. Have I confused you all now? East side Jesus, west side Pontius Pilate. Thank you, Carol. Jesus' procession was much different than Pontius Pilate's procession. Well, did you catch any of the details? Jesus didn't have any emblems, any military power or might, no shields, no swords. Jesus is dressed in clothing that all the others that are on the side of the procession, they're also wearing clothing just like Jesus. Jesus enters not in a tank or a helicopter showing military might. Jesus comes into the city on the back of a donkey, and the donkey isn't even his. He has to borrow someone else's donkey. And the people who line up behind Jesus, it's a ragtag bunch of disciples. Peter and Paul, some have different dialects and from different regions. They're not uniform. They're all over the place. James and John, how Jesus ever kept those disciples together, I will never know. Also behind Jesus, picture this, the blind and the lame, that Jesus gave sight and the ability to walk again. And then in the very back of that procession, I think Mary and Martha and Lazarus were there. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. He's there with his palm branch, paving the way for Jesus into the holy city, Jerusalem. I don't know that for sure, but it's okay to imagine that, that it had just happened a few days before. So there you have it, Pontius Pilate, Jesus. Now, here's the question this morning. Two events. Have you ever had two events and you don't know which one to go to? Yikes, that happens in life. If you were back in Jerusalem, AD 30, the Sunday before the Passover, which event would you have gone to? Would you have gone to the procession of Pontius Pilate into town? Or would you have shown up for Jesus of Nazareth? Moment of truth here. I probably would have gone to Pontius Pilate's procession into Jerusalem. The might and power and seeing the Roman soldiers coming in, that would have been a sight to behold. Now think of this, those two groups coming in, Jesus and Pontius Pilate, very different ways of living, and they're entering to stay in Jerusalem for an entire week together. That is a recipe for disaster. Only one of them is going to survive. So as you decide which procession you're going to join, know that it's likely that the one with the power and might is going to survive by the end of the week. And that's the way it works in the world today. Charles Darwin said, the people that survive, it's the survival of the fittest. Those in politics that have the most connections, they survive. The losers, they're pushed to the side and they're silenced. Those who are in battle and conflict, it's those with the skill and the power and the weaponry that win. Those who don't have the weaponry, they never are remembered in the history books. So as we have these two processions, it's okay to admit that, gosh, if we had to place bets, our bets would be probably placed with Pontius Pilate, that his following, that his grouping would win the day by the time Passover came that next week. Friends, this week here at Peace, we have a couple services. I want everyone to be invited and know that they're happening because powerful things are happening in the service. Monday, Thursday is 7 o'clock here at Peace. The choir is going to sing a beautiful piece that they've been working on. And then we're going to have communion, and then we're going to strip the altar. Up here in front, everything will be taken away. The communion ware, the book, as well as the holder for the book, and the paraments. The only thing that will be left will be the candle. And we will end the service Thursday night in silence. You'll almost feel like you lost something. And then Good Friday will come. And the Good Friday service is at 7 o'clock. Please notice how I plug these things in the middle of my sermon. Oh, shameless. It's important. It's important because it tells the story of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad we do it here at Peace. Because at 7 o'clock on Friday, on Friday, what we're going to do is you're going to enter in silence and there's going to be darkness. The lights are going to go down. At the very end of the service, as we read about what happened to Jesus Christ on the cross, we will end our service in utter darkness. And there will be a slapping of the book together. And that symbolizes Jesus' death and also the tomb shutting. Why do we do that? Well, it appears as if, at first glance, Pontius Pilate and his gang of Roman soldiers and his way of ruling the world with might and power momentarily had victory that first week, that Easter, that very first Easter, that Passover. But what we must hold on to this week as we think about what happened with Jesus and the procession into Jerusalem is that it was just a moment in which Pontius Pilate thought he had won. Because Holy Week doesn't end on Good Friday, friends. It ends on Easter. And Jesus' way of peace and justice and God's kingdom actually wins. Pontius Pilate loses. Do you know how I can tell you that Pontius Pilate lost? Because Pontius Pilate is just a lost thought in history, actually. No one knows who Pontius Pilate is. The only reason we know Pontius Pilate is because he's tied to Jesus Christ in the creed of the church. Otherwise, he'd be lost. No one would know anything about him. And those symbols that everyone got at and gooed at when they walked into the city, those symbols are artifacts for museums. And the Roman Empire that people loved the buildings and all the history of the roads that they built, that is just simply for history books. We certainly want our children to read about the history of the world, but that's all that is. Jesus' kingdom still survives. Still to this day, a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of justice, a kingdom of God's reign here on the earth. Dear friends, whether you recognize it or not, whether I recognize it or not, we're faced with a similar dilemma in the 21st century. We are faced with a dilemma of which procession should we be a part of? You're being invited to be a part of a lot of processions in this world. One leader rises up. Thousands of people follow him or her for a certain time period. Another leader rises up, and thousands of people follow him or her and listen to every word that they say. There have been philosophies that have been pushed on to the world for centuries: utilitarianism, rationalism, enlightenism, industrialism. And for a moment, when these people and movements have been pushed, for a moment, there's the thought that they're going to win the day and last forever. But the only kingdom that has lasted and will go on into the future is Jesus' kingdom of peace and God's reign on the earth. And I'm thankful for each one of you, because by being tied here at peace and by processing this morning as we did in our church service, do you know what you've done? You placed your palm branch. This is not just a weapon to tease your child or to mess with your spouse. By placing this palm branch right here, you are saying that with your life, you are going to join Jesus' procession, not anybody else's. We love underdog stories. Man, it really hurts when our underdog team, Gonzaga, loses. Man, that hurts. Ah. But you know, whenever the underdog actually pulls through and wins, man, you feel good. You're going to feel good in a week. Jesus of Nazareth, a man from Galilee, a little podunk place with hardly anyone there, that no one would expect a savior of the world to come, entered Jerusalem with military might, with Pontius Pilate, and he overcame them, and he overcame death itself. The underdog wins, and may it be so. And the good news is that buoys us and lets us know that we too can overcome death and all things in life. Let's pray about that as we enter into Holy Week in the days ahead. Dear Lord, we have entered into Holy Week at peace. And Lord, we admit that there are competing priorities in this life, competing voices trying to get us to join their procession and what they would teach. Today, Lord, we profess that we will only follow Jesus. Lord, may his kingdom work through us. May we usher in a kingdom of peace and God's reign here in our community. In Jesus' name, amen.